Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this night that we can come and how thou hast ministered to us in the past few days. And indeed, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are fresh every morning. And even as we come tonight, we want to learn what thou would intend for us to learn this night. And as we consider a portion of thy word, may the Spirit of God teach us and help us to be focused and help us not just to be hearers of thy word, but to be doers of thy word as well. As we come, we plead for thy mercy, that thou would forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to commit this time into thy loving hands, for we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 19, and let us read this passage once again. Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 19. Beginning with verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The Lord bless the reading of His holy and sacred word. In the preceding verses, the Apostle Paul had focused on the Christian life. We ought to mature and grow to be more and more like Christ. We ought to be united as one. Christ has blessed us with spiritual gifts to certain individuals. He has given special gifts to evangelists, to the pastors and teachers, that they may teach and preach the word of God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that the believers may be strong, fitly joined together, and everyone playing his or her part in the church. Then suddenly the Apostle Paul now turns his attention and he talks about the old man. Why did he do that? He began by saying, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord. He is invoking the name of Christ as he shares with us this couple of verses. Now this is a reminder to every one of us who is a believer, that we were once walking like the Gentiles, with a vain mind, with a blind heart, with an unclean life. And it is by the grace of God that we have been delivered, transported out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So this is a reminder to everyone. When a person truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is born again. A transformation takes place, there must be a radical change in our lives. The believer is a new man in Christ. The believer is a new creature, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are new creatures. By the grace of God, we have been transformed. But we are not perfect. As long as we live in this mortal body, we will still be troubled by sin. And so, we need to look to God. And in this passage, we are reminded how He has been so gracious to transport us into His marvelous light. And that as we look to God, He may give us the strength to live a victorious life. We are no longer under the dominion of sin. We can live a victorious life by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So Paul says in Romans 6 verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So you don't have to give in to sin. You have the power of God in you, the wonder working of God's Spirit indwelling in your heart, empowering you that you may overcome temptations and sin. And Paul here now urged the believers, ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. The Jews, whenever they use the term Gentiles, they use it in two common ways. Sometimes they use this term to distinguish all people from the Jews. At other times, they used to distinguish all the pagan religions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul used the word Gentiles to refer to people who do not know God. So here the word Gentiles represents all the ungodly, unregenerated, pagan persons. Do not walk like them. You have been delivered. You have been blessed with spiritual blessing. You are now a new man in Christ. You are a new creature. Do not walk as other Gentiles walk. The word walk implies the way of life. In the past, that was our way of life, the Gentiles' way. We lived in sin. We were blind. We were vain in our minds. Our lives were in sin and immorality. We were walking like other Gentiles. But now, as a new man in Christ, we ought to remind ourselves, as Paul has reminded us here, do not walk as Gentiles walk. So the title of our message for tonight is Evidence of the Old Man. This is a reminder to every one of us that was our life in the past. We can still fall into sin, but we ought to remind ourselves we must not walk as in the days before our conversions. There are 3 points in our message based on this passage: a vain mind, a blind heart, and an unclean life. Verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The word vanity means morally depraved, because it has to do with the mind. Sometimes we are given the impression that whatever the person thinks is not important. How he acts and behaves, that is important. As long as he behaves rightly, it's all right. What he thinks, it doesn't matter. But it is not true. Because our life, the way we live, is all because of what we think. It comes from what we think. It's a result of what we think. And the reason why we constantly sin is because we are vain in our thinking. We are morally depraved in our thinking. It is here in the mind, not elsewhere, that the unsaved person has his biggest problem, the mind. The mind is vain. He does not know God, and because he does not know God, he does not think rightly. He does not think biblically, because he does not believe in the Bible. The Christian believes God. The Christian believes the Bible. That is why the Christian must live differently. And the Christian's mind is constantly being transformed by the renewing of the mind. And that is why the Christian is able to prove that is which is good and approvable and acceptable to God. We believe God. We believe the Bible. Our minds are constantly being renewed. The unbeliever does not believe God, does not believe in the Bible. As far as spiritual things are concerned, as far as moral things are concerned, they cannot think straight. And so they spontaneously conform themselves to the pattern of the world. The world refers to this evil system in this world. This evil world system is dominated by Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We all know that this world system is an instrument of Satan. His influences are everywhere. Look at the entertainment world. You can see his influences in the television, in the movie, in the internet, always trying to project to our minds that sin is attractive, that it is a normal way of life to give in to sin, to yield to temptation. His ungodly influences can be seen in the false teaching, especially in the New Age movement. You can be gods. That's what the New Age movement is all about. It is all about me and myself. I come first. I must be number one. Positive thinking. His influences are also in the philosophies of this world. Man's thoughts, man's opinions, man's aim, man's aspirations are always opposed to God. As long as I'm happy, that is what matters most. This is the mentality and mindset of the world, and it affects the mind. It's a vain mind. It is a mind of the Gentiles. Vanity of the mind. So these unbelievers, they are walking in the vanity of the minds. But sadly, unfortunately, it is also common for Christians to want to walk like the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind. You know, there are many who profess to be believers. They want to think like the world. They want to enjoy the world's entertainment. They want to put on the world's fashion. They want to listen to the world's music. They want to adopt the world's attitudes, even when they know that those things are opposed to the Word of God, opposed to the standards of God's Word. 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000 years, the Apostle John said in 1 John 5:19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." This is the world that we live in, whereby Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Indeed, it is a wicked and sinful world, a world that is hostile towards the Word of God, a world that is opposed towards God's truth, a world that will show no mercy upon our children, a world that will cause us to be influenced by its wickedness and to fall into sin. And they will begin by attacking the mind in a way you think. The vanity of the mind. So we need to ask ourselves, as we are new creatures in Christ, do we still have these evidences of the old man? Do we still think like the way the Gentiles think? Or do we think as in accordance to the Word of God? We ought to think in accordance to the Word of God. We will always be tempted to think like the way the world thinks. But we must always turn to God's Word. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mindset. Do not let the world make you victims of its evil system. Recently, I was reading an article that talked about some researchers trying to study the behavior of criminals. It has often been said that a man becomes a criminal because he's corrupted by his environment. But that is only part of the problem. And it has been proven to be weak in its explanation. It is not the environment that turns a man into a criminal. It is a series of choices that he makes starting at a very early age. The choices he makes are conditioned by what he thinks, and slowly but surely the criminal's mind will eventually decide that everything is worthless, life is meaningless, his thinking becomes illogical, and he will be led to criminal activities or terrible crimes. In a similar fashion, every one of us here, we are being challenged by decisions. Every day we have to make choices. Every day we have to face the issues of life. Do we make those or make decisions guarding our thoughts? Do we guard our thoughts? Do we consider what we think? Do we have God in our hearts? Do we have God's word in our minds? Do we see the things that we are facing, the issues of life, through God's precious truth? Do we follow the yardstick of God's word? Or do we follow this vanity of the mind? You know, the way the world thinks is truly vanity because they have rejected God. Whenever this word vanity comes and we read this word vanity, we remember King Solomon, right? King Solomon was the one who wrote in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2. He said, "Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, it is all vanity. There's nothing new under the sun." You know, one theologian make a very interesting comment about Solomon. He says, "This man has led a life through all the experiences under the sun, concerned with nothing above the sun, until there came a moment in which he had seen the whole of life and there was something above the sun. It is only when a man takes into account what is above the sun, then everything under the sun will be seen in this true light." In other words, what he was saying is that if you do not consider God, and you just look at everything you face in this life, everything is meaningless, everything is vanity. But unless you see things with God in perspective. If a man has not trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, life is vanity. Do you know why? Because you may be the king of a great nation. You can be also the beggar in the street. You'll be sent to the same eternal hell. Vanity of vanities. No matter how much wealth you have, how much education, social prestige you may have, a life without God is empty. Empty. Without Christ, if you try to find fulfillment in this life, if you try to find security in this life, you are just chasing after the wind. Jesus himself said in Mark 8 verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" We all know that verse very well, right? Have you ever taken time to consider that one verse? One statement Jesus made, but it's so interesting. You know, from that one statement, you can learn several things. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? No man can ever gain the whole world. Many have tried, right? Alexander the Great, Hitler, there are many great kings, they have tried. No man can gain the whole world. Even if a man can gain the whole world, he cannot keep it. But even if a man can gain the whole world and he can keep it, it will not satisfy him. It will not satisfy him. The soul is empty. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We are new creatures. We should not walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind, with no regards for God, with no regard for God's word. How can we? We must live our lives taking God into consideration, taking His word into consideration, and always putting God first. A vain mind is the first thing that we must take note. And the second thing the Apostle Paul talks about, which I have given as my second point, is a blind heart. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Having the understanding darkened indicates a continuing condition of spiritual darkness. This darkness implies an ignorance of God's truth. This is the characteristic of the ungodly person. He or she is ignorant of God's truth, and that will result in a blind heart. Blind, spiritually blind. You know, people are offended when you tell them they are blind. Even before you tell them they are blind, you say they are ignorant, they are already offended. But they are even more offended when you say they are blind. No society in history has ever been more educated than our times. More educated, more advanced in science and technology. If you are a graduate, you are just one among tens of thousands in Singapore, or perhaps one among 10 or 100 million in this world. We are living in a time where people are educated. To say they are blind, they are very offended. But that is exactly what those who may be intellectuals, but yet they do not acknowledge God. They are blind. Romans 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They thought they were very wise, but they were fools. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. They have a vain mind, and this vain mind cannot understand God's truth, having their understanding darkened. Their heart is blind. They are ignorant. They cannot know God's truth. They cannot understand God's truth. They are dead to spiritual things, alienated from God. They thought they were wise, but they were fools. You know, it's a terrible thing to be alienated from God. We don't like when people call us aliens. But strangely, when you visit some countries, there will be counters that say aliens. And we who do not belong to those countries, we have to go to that lane. We do not belong to that country. They are telling us, you do not belong to us. You are not one of us. You are an alien. To be alienated from God is even worse, because you will be eternally separated from the Almighty God. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to a human being, to be eternally separated from the Almighty God. A million upon a million years, you will be tormenting in eternal hell because you are eternally separated from Him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me, to the Father, but by me. You reject Him, you are eternally separated from God. And these are the fools who say there's no God. These are the fools who do not believe in the Bible. They have rejected God. They cannot hear God. They cannot see any connection between this physical world and the spiritual world. They see no connection because of the blindness of the heart. You know, when the heart is blind, they are dead. You go to a mortuary, you can speak as loud as you can. The dead bodies cannot hear you. Not a word can they hear, because they are already dead. Spiritually dead people cannot hear. They cannot understand spiritual things. It is foolishness to them. A story was told of William Pitt, who was once the Prime Minister of England. He was a great intellect and a good friend of Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a man who devoted his life to abolish slavery throughout the British Empire. Wilberforce was a Christian, a godly one, and he lived his life to be a godly Christian, honoring God. His friend William was an unbeliever. Christianity did not mean anything to him. In those days in London, there was a great preacher named Richard Cecil. William Wilberforce attended Richard's preaching regularly, and he was delighted with the messages. The messages never failed to touch his heart and warm his soul. He loved to hear those messages, and he wanted his friend William Pitt to feel the same experiences that he has felt. So he constantly persuaded his friend William Pitt to come. But William Pitt was too busy. But one day, William told Wilberforce, he says, I will go with you to church this Sunday. And come Sunday morning, they attended church service. The preacher, Richard, preached a very powerful message. Wilberforce was so uplifted, he cried. While he heard the message, he was glorifying God, praising God throughout the service. Then when the service ended, they were walking out together. William Pitt turned to his friend and said, you know something? I have not the slightest idea what that man was talking about. I have not the slightest idea. You know, sometimes we have experienced such situations. We invited our loved ones for gospel rallies. A good preacher comes. We are so excited. We invited our loved ones who are outside the kingdom of God. We want them to hear the gospel. When the preacher preached, the outline was so good. We still can remember those outlines. We were touched by the Word of God. But then when we turn to our loved ones, they said, I had not the slightest idea what that man was talking about. It is so sad. A man will remain blind in his heart until God softens that heart and opens his eyes to the truth. Only God can do that. The unbelievers are ignorant of God's truth, alienated from God. Their hearts are blind. Their minds are vain. But what about us, my friend? Paul says, walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of the mind, in the blindness of the heart. We say we are believers. Then we should not be vain in our minds. We should not be blind in our hearts when we listen to God's word. And the word of God pricks us to the working of God's spirit, convicts our hearts. Then we must live out this truth. Otherwise, we will be vain. We will be blind. You know, if our minds are not vain and our hearts are not blind, then the word of God must transform our lives. Because the word of God will make us wise. As the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. If it has not made us wise, why not? If it has not transformed our lives, why not? Are we still vain? Or are we still blind? The third point here is an unclean life. So the other characteristic of the Gentiles. Verse 19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, with a vain mind and a blind heart. It is most certain that these ungodly unbelievers will live an unclean life. Their hearts were so hardened. They have given themselves over to lasciviousness, which means they have surrendered themselves to sexual desires, filthy sexual desires. To work all uncleanness with greediness is to practice every kind of impurity with greediness. You know, when people continue to sin and turn away from the life of God, they become more and more insensitive to spiritual and moral things. They will not get better and better. They will get from bad to worse, right? When they continue to sin, they'll get from bad to worse. They'll drift further and further away. Sometimes you look at people, initially, they would have some sense of what is right and wrong. Sometimes they'll feel a sense of shame when they do something wrong. That is why they try to hide their sins. But when they continuously sin, continuously ignore the guilt, continuously subdue the conscience, what happened? Their conscience will be seared with a hot iron. No more feelings. Insensitive already. Because they kept sinning and sinning. From bad to worse. No more shame. Initially, they'll feel some sense of shame. Later on, no more shame. Such people have rejected God, they'll get from bad to worse. You know, if you consider the life that we live in today, we are living in perilous times. This world is getting from bad to worse, right? You look at how people have lived their lives, you know. There was a time when our wicked society tried so hard to hide, not to be exposed in their immorality. People travel afar to commit adultery. Today they openly commit adultery. There was a time, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, marriage is truly till death do us part. Our lives revolve around the family. Our uncles, aunties, they meant something to us. Our grandfather, grandmother, our parents, our siblings, life revolve around the family. Today, marriage is easily being broken. Today they are married, next week they can get a divorce. There was a time when people feel so shameful to talk about things like adultery, homosexual, and other perverse activities. But today such topics are openly discussed. Openly. No more shame. You know, you watch all the modern talks on television, right? You see, they talk about these people who are gays. They come up in the open. They said they are gays, they are lesbians, they are adulterers, they are child molesters. And then yet people applaud them for their boldness. Say they are bold to say that or admit that they are such a person. No more shame. We are living in such perilous times. Our children will be challenged with such situations. There will come a time when they may give in to the temptation. This vain mind, this blind heart, this unclean life, these are the ways of the Gentiles. And we know that very clearly because the Bible tells us. You know, it will stare us in the eyes. In fact, it has already affected us in some churches. It has already affected the people in the church. You know, just before I came to this camp, I was talking to one of my friends. He's a pastor. And he had a deacon in his church who committed adultery. Very sad. And that deacon left the church. And that pastor pleaded with the deacon and said, "Please, do not grieve your wife. It's a very sad thing. It is a very, very painful thing. Do not do that. Think about your children. Spare a thought for your children. Think about how you would grieve God when you do this. Please do not do this. Repent." You know what the deacon said? Because he has been continuing in sin. He said, "Come to think about it. I've never felt more alive." It is so sad. If it can happen to a deacon, it can happen to anyone in the church. Walk not as the Gentiles walk. The fact that the Apostle Paul, he urged the people, do not walk as the Gentiles walk. There is a possibility that they would be able to walk as the Gentiles walk. They could fall into the sin of having a vain mind and a heart that is rebellious against God and even a life that will be in immorality. It is possible. That is why Paul urged them, do not walk as the Gentiles walk. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been given spiritual gifts by God. Christ is the head of the church. You are his body. You are a member. God has given you spiritual leaders to teach you, preach to you, to build you up, edify you. Do not walk as Gentiles walk. How can we then be victorious, my friend? How can our children be victorious? I'd like to pick up what Solomon, the one who said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, the one who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us find the answer from there. The one who began the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2, he said, vanity of vanities. He ends the same book, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13. This is what he says. Solomon, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Three things he said. And if we can remember and put into practice these three things, my friend, then wise is the man or the woman. Fear God, firstly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1 verse 7. In other words, if you want to have a profitable life, fear God. If you want to have wisdom, fear God. This is a reverential fear. This is a fear that you know that this God knoweth everything. This is a fear that you know this God is all-powerful. You cannot hide from him. This is a fear that you know that one day you have to give an account to him. This is a fear that you know this is the God who gave his only begotten Son to save you from your sins. The Christian who fears the Lord will not tempt the Lord by disobeying or play the fool with God, or play the fool with sin. He will not do that. Oswald Chambers once said about this remarkable thing about fearing God. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. But if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. How true. Fear God. Put God first in your life. The second thing he said was keep his commandments. God created life. He gave his gave us this new life in Christ. He is the one who knows how it should be managed. Gave us commandments that we may live a righteous life. He gave us his word, and wise is the man who will read his word and obey his word. So if we want to be wise, we keep his commandments. We read his word, obey his commandments. Then we will be protected by him. And lastly, live your lives. Be prepared to face your Maker. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, men may think that they can get away with sin, but their sins will eventually be exposed and judged righteously. Those who have not trusted Jesus Christ, they'll be condemned forever because their sins remains with them. When they stand before this Almighty God with sins not forgiven, they'll be sent to eternal hell. A word to anyone here who is still an unbeliever, do not linger outside the kingdom of God. There's no one who can save you. Only Jesus saves. You may be thinking here, well, I'm not as bad as those prisoners in Changi. When there was once I shared the gospel with a lady and she said, I'm not a sinner. I'm not a prisoner. So to her, a prisoner is a sinner. So because she has never been sent to prison, she's not a sinner. Some people think like that. I'm better than the child molester. I'm better than many. I've given money to charity. I've done many good works. I've helped the society. I've contributed so much. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If I may give you one illustration, we are now in Johor Bahru. Singapore is across the other side. If all of us in this room, we have to jump from here to Singapore. Probably, I will be able to jump 6 foot or 6 feet. That's all I can do. With my painful leg, maybe now I can only do 3. Your deacon, Tik Meng, he looks very sporty. Maybe he can do kneecap problem. Maybe he can do 12. Our uncle Charlie, perhaps he's the oldest here. He can only do 2. All of us, even if you can do 20, we come short, right? We come short. God's standard is a perfect standard. None of us can attain this perfect standard. None of us. We have all sinned. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I can end with this illustration, if you are an unbeliever, you know, we are just like a little boy going into a supermarket. You know, the little boy went into this supermarket and stole something. He got arrested. And when he got arrested, he stood before a judge. And then all the evidences were there. The prosecutor said, "You have stolen." Evidences were there. He knew he was caught. So he said, "Yes." So the judge asked him, "You admit you have stolen?" "Yes." And the judge looked at the sentences and said, "For stealing, I have to sentence you to $5,000 fine." A little boy, he has no $5,000. So what happens? Send him to the bailiff's room. He went to the bailiff's room. The judge took down, what do you call that? His crown or wig. And he went down to the bailiff's room. The prosecutor was there. And he took out $5,000 and he paid. The prosecutor was shocked and he said, "You are the judge. You sentence him and then you pay for him. I cannot understand." The judge said, "This boy is my son. But I'm a judge. If I were to close an eye, I cannot be a judge. I have to be righteous. But I love my son." You get the point? Our God is a righteous God. He cannot close an eye to our sins. He cannot close an eye to our blind heart, vain mind, unclean life. Living the life of the Gentiles, the ungodly, the one who rejects God. He cannot just close an eye to all our sins, all our jealousies, our pride, our envies, our hidden agendas, things we do in the dark. No one would know, but God knows. He cannot close an eye. He must deal with our sins. But the moment He deals with our sins, all of us, we would be dead. The wages of sin is death. We cannot save ourselves. We have no power to save ourselves. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came into this world, lived a perfect life. He kept the laws of God on our behalf, which you and I cannot keep. He was crucified, he died, he shed his precious blood, he was buried, but he rose again from the dead. He's our Savior. And he says, whosoever believeth in me, he will also be raised from the dead. Do you believe in him? He's the only one who can save you. For those of us who have belief in him, then we ought to walk worthy of our calling. We ought to remember that there was a time when we have these evidences of the old man. We have this vain mind, blind heart, unclean life. But today, we are a new man in Christ. But if those who are unbelievers, you have still these evidences of the old man. You are still having this vain mind, blind heart, and unclean life. You need Jesus Christ. You reject him, you reject the only way. I pray that even through this camp, that peradventure some of us who are unbelievers may come to know him. We cannot take for granted that every one of our children, they are believers. We cannot take for granted that everyone who profess to believe God are true believers. Some may not. If you have not truly believed in him, today is the day of salvation. Turn to Jesus Christ. Only Jesus saves. May the Lord have mercy and teach us as we continue with our camp. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for this night. Even as we consider this title, Evidence of the Old Man. Indeed, all these are evidences that we have before we came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Even today, we are new men in Christ. We still struggle with this vain mind, and at times this heart is so rebellious. And even a life that we live ought to be righteous, often we rebel against thee. Forgive us, O Lord. For thou hast reminded us that we ought to walk worthy of our calling. We ought not to walk as the Gentiles walk. Through the empowerment of the Spirit, help us that we may live a life that will glorify thee. For those who are still lingering outside the kingdom of God, impress upon their hearts, convict them of their sins, that they will know that the wages of sin is death. But our Lord Jesus is the one who can give eternal life. O Lord, convict their hearts that they may turn to Jesus Christ, that today will be the day of their salvation. Bless each and everyone who is in this camp. Minister to us in thy own special way. As we continue this camp, we want to learn many other lessons from thy word, and also to fellowship and encourage one another. Bless us, O Lord, for we seek blessings from none other than Christ, the head of the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.